Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Grand Old Team Podcast. I'm Adam Partington. Before I get going with the show and I introduce our guest for this episode, I just wanted to go on record, really, on behalf of Grand Old Team and just send our condolences to the family of young Bradley Lowry, who sadly passed away this afternoon. Really heartbreaking news. And Bradley's been a bit of an inspiration, I think, to all Evertonians. You know, we've been dead proud of the way that the club's kind of helped ease the pain for Brad and to try and support him, obviously, as much as they've been able to do it. I think they've been great, and and I hope that, you know, the club have managed to give the family some comfort when he's come down to Goodison, etc. But just really kind of tragic news, and I just wanted to go on record and just say, on behalf of everybody at Grand Old Team and everybody who kind of deals with the website, etc., that our thoughts and our prayers are with Bradley's family at this time. Just really, really sad news. So Alan Myers is the guest on today's Grand Old Team podcast. Many of you who use Twitter will know who Alan is. He's a well-renowned Evertonian. Let's say he's the former communications director at Everton, actually. He spent two stints at the club, and one in the 90s and one in 2014, which didn't last as long as I think he would have liked. However, we spoke about numerous things, extremely interesting conversation. I mean, he's such a lovely fella, is Alan, and I tweeted out last night, I could speak to Alan about Everton for decades, and it was really, really good talking to him. He's currently working for Sky. He's a freelance journalist, and he took some time out of his evening last night working on the transfer desk to come and speak to us. I asked him for 20 minutes. He said, yep, cool, 20 minutes, and then we ended up doing an hour because, I just really enjoyed speaking to him, and I think he was more than happy to talk to us as well, and it was great listening to him. He's got some really good insight into the inner workings of the club. He knows his stuff with regards to communications and that link between the supporters and the club, which is something that personally I'm very big on. I work in marketing and communications myself, so that was quite intriguing, and I'm sure you guys will enjoy it, how the club communicates with its supporters. And also we had a little chat about Romelu Lukaku, which we didn't want to spend too long on because, we're all a little bit tired of this topic at the moment. I'm sure you are too. Since we recorded the podcast, just so you know, it has been announced that, Man United look pretty much set now to sign Romelu Lukaku. Like, it's going to happen. But we did talk about that for a little bit. And then also we spoke about Wayne Rooney, because Alan actually knows Wayne, which was, again, getting inside the head of Wayne Rooney and his attitude towards Everton. So that was fascinating too. You'll have to forgive me though, because there were a few little issues with regards to the sound, because I called Alan from Skype, just called his mobile phone via Skype, so it cut off a little bit, and it wasn't great in parts, but just stick with it though, because I think it was a really good conversation, and I think you'll enjoy it. Just a bit of housekeeping before I go and move on to the actual podcast. There, grandoldteam.com, there are some brilliant articles on here at the moment. I've read one the other day by Andy C on the case for Wayne Rooney, which was fantastic. There's also a good one from Rob as well on Mashiri's era. There's one on Delafeu, Barkley, Stones and Lukaku, and looking at how kind of like the situation of that like Fab Four has changed. There's another one from David on the reaction to of other supporters, mainly the Reds, on some of the signings we've made. All fascinating articles. Get over, check them out. Also get onto the forum, and then go on, if you haven't already, like us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, the deal, and also subscribe to us now, because we're on iTunes, which is great. So anyway, yes, let's move on then, and let's hear what Alan Myers had to say to us. It was a privilege having him on, and I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. Hello and welcome back to the Grand Old Team podcast. I am joined by Alan Myers. Many of you will know him. Those of you who use Twitter will definitely know him. He's working down at Sky at the moment on the transfer stuff, and he's taking a little bit of time out to have a chat with us, which obviously is fantastic. So, Alan, thanks for coming on to Grand Old Team.
My pleasure.
It's been a busy few weeks for us Evertonians, to be honest. I haven't been able to take my take myself away from the news, and it's looking quite good. But before we get into all that stuff, obviously, you know, I think the majority of the audience will probably know who you are, Al, but I'm not sure. There may be one or two who don't. So do you want to give us a little brief overview of who you are and your attachment to Everton, and then we'll go from there?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, obviously, being an Evertonian all my life, and you know, nice little story of how I became an Evertonian, or how, you know, because I was in a family of 8 children, and every one of them were Liverpoolians except me. And the reason that came about is when I was a, you know, sort of 8, 9, 10 year old, I used to cut hedges and wash cars, you know, for neighbours, as we all did in them days. And the one neighbour that I used to cut the hedge for just happened to be Harry Catrick's cleaner from Belfield. And what she did, she gave me, in those days, you had a season ticket, and every other Saturday you had a ticket to go and watch the reserves play at Goodison, you know, because, you know, when the first team were away, the reserves played at Goodison, and then obviously week about every week. And so I started going, she gave me the tickets for the reserve games, you know, from her season ticket. And that's how I started going to the reserve games, and that is how I became an Evertonian, to the absolute disgust of my father and my brothers, you know. And once you become an Evertonian, you can't never not be. And so there was no chance of me changing. I think I changed for about 10 seconds when Liverpool came back with the FA Cup in 1974, and Kevin Keegan waved at me. Snap back out of it within, I think it was about 7 or 8 seconds, I'm not quite sure. No, but in all fairness, I was always an Evertonian, and I loved it. And then I sort of, you know, obviously grew up as a Blue, and you know, remember all that. I mean, I think the grounding was really the 70s, when we didn't really win anything. I've said it before, and, you know, people thought it was a little bit insulting, but I didn't mean it the way it sounded. But I said before that Bob Latchford was the only thing we had, really, in the, you know, that sort of mid to late 70s. What I mean by that is, you know, we never won trophies at that time. So, you know, right, my hero was Bob Latchford, and it was great to have him at least doing what he did, scoring the goals that he did for us, you know. But, of course, many, many great players as well that he played with. So grew up in Evertonian, big Blue. And then when I started work, I worked at Radio Merseyside and did the morning sport there, and then started to sort of do a little bit of part-time work for Everton on a match day as a sort of someone who looked after the press, you know, on a match day, because in those days it was sort of the start of the Prem, really, you know, sort of 93, 94, and the actual press officer sort of person wasn't really something that was at clubs at the time. There was always somebody who looked after the press, but not an official press officer, if you like. And so I sort of went to Everton and asked them to do that, and I worked on a couple of match days early on, and then I got a phone call off a director at the time called Cliff Finch, who many people remember, under the Peter Johnson reign, and asked me if I would join full time. So I left Radio Merseyside. That took even less seconds to decide, and became Everton's first ever really, you know, sort of official press officer. Then I sort of left in 2002, I think it was. Yeah, it was just before David Moyes arrived to join Sky for 12 years, and then got that call, the famous call, when I was over in Dubai on holiday, from Bill Kenwright asking me if I wanted to come home, which was great. Stayed at Everton for 7 months. Didn't work out as well as I was hoping it would. Left, and as people probably know, I've spent the last few years at Blackburn Rovers and now back at Sky. So there you go. That was all quite succinct, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. Obviously, there's a few bits in there that probably want to chat to you about. So, you know, I'm quite intrigued by, you know, what the state of play was like with regards to off the pitch at Everton in the early 90s. So going into football at the start of that, like, Prem era there, and then at Everton, because obviously that's the area when I first started to become conscious of Everton. Obviously, I was born in 89, so, you know, probably anything from, like, 96 on. So I remember things like in the 90s, you had the Everton magazine that my granddad used to bring back for me when he used to, you know, go back up to Liverpool to see family and whatever, and then you had the videos and stuff we used to do in the radio station as well. I assume you were heavily involved then in all of those things then at that point.
Well, I was, and the thing was, I mentioned Cliff Finch earlier, and Cliff, you know, sometimes got a little bit of unfair stick at times. I think, you know, it happens at every football club. You know, directors are always an easy target. But I think what I would say about Cliff Finch, he was very innovative at the time. You know, we had Radio Everton, and I think Manchester United was the only other team that had their own radio station. We had TV Everton, and although it wasn't an external thing, you know, we had it internally, which was our own sort of television station for match days, which was again at that time really innovative. We had, you know, I looked after the programme, we looked after the magazine, the Everton magazine, in conjunction with The Echo. We did it at the time, Ken Rogers. And we had Club Call, and we had, you know, it was a time when football was really sort of, you know, new things were happening all the time, and people were finding their feet and understanding what this new era of football was all about. And it was really a good time to be around. I mean, some of the, you know, the real shock to me when I went back in 2013 was how the game had changed so much. You know, because in the 90s it was very sort of, even then it was simple. You know, it was, you knew what you were doing, you knew who was doing what, and we didn't have hordes of staff who did everything. We didn't have, you know, the internet was a new phenomenon. You know, at that time, you know, we didn't have social media, we just about started a website, I think, and so it was, you know, there was no sort of real mail order. I remember the mail order thing just starting to come to life, if you know what I mean, and you know, people were able to then buy stuff, and so everything was new, everything was a learning curve, but it was a great time. I mean, we had some great players, we had some great times at the club, we had some really bad ones as well. You know, we had obviously the 97-98 season where, you know, famously or infamously nearly went down. So in that respect, it was an amazing time, but it was also a very mixed time. You know, you didn't know what was coming next.
What I find quite like strange about that, just making an observation of that period. So obviously, you know, we did have ups and downs, won the FA Cup in the 90s, great. But apart from that, you know, it got pretty grim at some times. You know, as you say, you know, we almost dropped out of the league, you know, so it got pretty desperate. So on the pitch, you know, it's hardly like we were trendsetters or innovators. Then off the pitch, in terms of the way the club was run, in terms of the commercial deals and stuff, I think it's fair to say, and I think you'll probably agree, Alan, that, you know, we probably weren't the best. We fell a little bit behind the pack in terms of the stuff, the commercial deals that your Arsenals were doing, your Man Uniteds or whatever at the time, even the Reds. But then it seems to be that we just had this niche, and this, you know, partly maybe down to you. I mean, I don't know how much credit you want to take, but it seems like we had this niche where, with regards to communications, we were the trendsetters. Do you know what I mean? So it's a bit of this weird paradox.
Yeah, I think in a strange way. I mean, I certainly don't think it's a really good point, this, because, you know, the way I wanted to do communications when I came back in 2013 was almost radical, you know, to what we've seen and what we still don't see now. And I don't mean just Everton. I mean, you know, in a lot of clubs, although the clubs are getting it now, they're starting to get it. Even in this transfer window, you see how they're, you know, clubs are now competing on how they announce transfers, and there's all these great little videos doing the rounds and new ways of imaginative ways to, you know, to announce signings. In the 90s, I don't take the credit for that, to be honest, because in the 90s, I think what it was is, it was difficult. I wasn't anywhere near the communications guy I am now, if you know what I mean, because obviously the 12 years at Sky Sports has taught me. I've been all over the world with Sky Sports, you know, producing and reporting, and I ran the Northwest Bureau for 10 years. But I think what we were in the 90s is we were a club who listened to the people, and you know, and I'm not a huge lover of the people's club. You know, slogan.
I
think we're
that.
Better than that, and I think we're bigger than that.
Right.
You know, I think there's definitely an element of us being the people's club, and I think we are the people's club in that respect. But what I'm saying is, I always feel a little bit awkward saying it, because I feel as though I'm sort of not portraying the club in its entirety, if you know what I mean. I think there's more to it than just that, and I think there's a danger with something like that, of becoming too localized and too, you know, parochial, if you like. But in the 90s, what we did do, and we still do it now to much better scales, is that we listened to fans, and if they had a problem, we would do so. And we were approachable, whereas I think a lot of football clubs weren't, and still aren't in many cases.
Do you think that Everton, you know, bringing it back to the modern day now, we will go back to the night. I've just got a few questions I want to ask you about that as well, with regards to the personnel at the club at the time. But do you think that Everton are better than, because you've obviously got experiences down at Blackburn Rovers as well, and working with Sky, you know, you probably, you know, privy to this kind of stuff anyway, you probably look out for it. But do you think that Everton, in terms of like the communications, are probably slightly better than some other clubs? Where would you rank us at the moment, Alan?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, you know, the best way to explain this is, you know, my, when I left Sky in 2013, I got the phone call. The only job I would have left Sky for then was Everton. Yeah. I said that to my boss when I joined Sky back in 2002. I said to my boss, he said to me, "You're not going to," because I've just left Everton, and you know, I didn't want to leave, but I felt I had to at the time. And my boss said to me, "You know, I'll create this job for you in the Northwest, you know, but I don't want to create this job and then find that, you know, you leave after a couple of months because you go back to Everton." And I said, "Look, or, you know, get another job in football, you know." And I said, "Well, I will be honest with you, the only job I will ever leave here for, ever, will be Everton." And, you know, I stuck to my word. It took 12 years, you know, before it happened. But I remember that call coming, and I knew, no matter what, and I love working at Sky. I've always loved working at Sky. It's a fantastic place to work, fantastic people, so clever, so you know, on the ball. And so I made the decision to leave because I had to, because it was Everton, and I just can't resist Everton. So I went back, but I said to my boss at the time, you know, because he said, "It's a difficult job now, it's different than when you did it before, you know." And I said, "I know, but I didn't want to just come back to Everton and be a suit, you know, be a man in a suit who puts a statement out and doesn't, you know. I want to communicate with people, and I want to communicate face to face. I want to understand their concerns. I want to feel, you know." I remember speaking to Bill Kenwright once, and I talked about that moment when Everton score, the sort of 10 seconds after a goal where you're not there, you know, you're in another place, you're just, you know. It was funny actually, because I talked about it on Twitter when I was at Everton, and we had someone adopted the phrase limbs, and you know, and it was a great phrase. It did get out of hand at one point.
It never got out of hand. I loved it. I still use it now.
but this guy, you know, sent back limbs, and I said, "Oh, I like that, you know, that's the one." But then what happened was, it was quite funny really, because as it grew a little bit, you know, I started getting people sending me pictures with slings. You know, I think I'd be saying, "Oh, you know, that goal against such and such the other day, you know, I broke my arm because I went four rows of seats, you know." And I thought, "Oh my God, this is not good," you know. So, but it was really funny. But it is that, what I was trying to say was, I wanted to understand that feeling, because football is about feelings. Football clubs is about feelings. Supporting Everton is about a feeling.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not about, you know, corporate. And don't get me wrong, I understand that side of the game totally, and I understand the necessity for it, and I understand that football isn't football these days without business and without hard-nosed decisions. I understand that. But what I felt the game was lost, not Everton, but the game in general, was that, just that, I remember being able to, and it was a famous goal, infamous game where Gary Neville put the ball back to Paul Robinson and it bobbled and went under his foot, if you remember right.
Yeah.
Slaven Bilic was actually the manager of Croatia. And I remember sat on the coach afterwards, and I was, you know, it was like a media coach. And we'd been told that we can't speak to any of the England players, we can't stand where they come back to the coach, we can't film them, we can't ask them anything. And it was a real sort of, you know, it was almost like as if football had eaten itself, you know, and we couldn't get close to the players, we couldn't get close to what we were there for. And then I saw the Croatian players all in the car park, just a normal car park. I thought, I'd get photographs taken with the fans, and, you know, and I just thought, you know, the game in this country now is in danger, really sort of edging itself away from, you know, the fan. And I wanted, in my own small way, to make sure when I came back and did the job, to be that person who communicates with, you know. One of the first things I did was write to all the away. My first away game, my first game was against Norwich away. I think it was 2-2, and we drew 2-2.
I remember. And, yeah, I remember Barkley scoring. It was, yeah, that was, yeah, I remember that game. Yeah,
that's right. That's right. And that day, every single one of them, and said, thank you very much for your support, you know, for travelling away. It's a long season, we know you'll be there for us, because that's the greatest away support in the world. And the response I got for that, and it was just a little letter, you know. And I noticed actually this year, Everton did it. Bill Penwright wrote to them all, and I noticed that they'd picked up. And I do feel as if the club has picked up some of the things that I did then. And listen, Everton is fantastic with or without me. It's fantastic as a club for the people and what it does and in the community in particular. But you know, I do feel with all football clubs, this. Closer. I think it is coming. You know, I think you see these days that are much more sort of, there's much more sort of, I don't know what, a get together between the fans and the club now. You know, I think it's still a problem, you know, at some places, but it is getting better. But that's what I wanted to be, if you know what I mean. I wanted to be a proper communicator, you know, in the true sense of the word.
Yeah, I think that, just by the way, I'm getting a little bit of like, I think you maybe, are you just dropping out a signal or something, but I'll give you a shout if it drops out too much. But I think we could make up.
Yeah, no problem.
I think we got most of that. But, yeah, I think, okay. What was I saying there? Yeah, with regards to football, obviously being more than that, you know, and more than just a game, and that emotional investment that you make in it. And it is important as supporters, you know, that we feel a connection with the club. My experience of Everton has been pretty good so far since I've been doing the grand old team stuff, you know, very receptive and that's good. But I think as well, you know, I think probably the worst time was like maybe the mid to late 2000s, early, you know, this decade was probably the worst time for, I think, football, because I think what happened, we had this tech revolution where, remember, most companies, I think now people, I think firms and football clubs and whatever are starting to work out how to utilise these things, but you had all these new channels open up, and I just think that they just got frightened to death. You had a few stories come out, you know, things that were picked up on social media. I remember one of the, I can't remember which player it was, one of the Birmingham lads who was like on the toilet wiping his arse with like £50 notes, and that was shared all over social media. So right. The point I'm making is, I think you've got these new channels up here, and clubs just didn't know what to do, panicked, and then thought, just shut it all down. And I think now they're starting to realise that they can potentially leverage them. I mean, I don't know if I'm, you know, I might be onto something there, but I think
you're 100% right.
Yeah.
And I think what's important to say,